and gather the eggs, and during the daytime, pick the pickles. I never like to do that because it's all covered with bees. But that's good for the pickles.
Yeah.
Makes more pickles. Gather the eggs, pick the pickles, carry in the wood, and help my mother with the chores, do the dusting in the house. It was my job always do the dusting. And mop the floor. I wish I had a penny for her to mop that old kitchen floor. And I tried to milk the cow one time, but she stuck her foot in my mouth, and I quit that.
Did your brothers do that?
My brothers milked the cows.
They did that?
Nope. I used to work on the farm, though. Drag the horses, you know, on the drag and the rolling, not the plow. And watch the cows. And we had a bunch of old mean cows when I got older. About, 10, 12 years old, 10, 11 years old. I'd take my crocheting along or a book to read. About the time I get my nose in the book, the old cow jumped the fence. She jumped the fence one day and I couldn't get her back over. I had an awful time with her. The worst thing I didn't like was when the pigs would get out, the hogs they call them nowadays.
Uh-huh.
They get out and they're the meanest thing. They're meaner than cows.
Yeah, I know that.
You couldn't get them back in no way for loving their money. And you wasn't supposed to run them. If you run a hog in real hot weather, they almost die, you know.
Yeah.
You can't run them. Hogs would get out, and the sheep would get out. My brother tended the sheep. You want to know about my brother or just me?
Go ahead.
My brother Ed, he was the sheep tender. And the other boys, they worked on the farm, but Ed always tended the sheep. And we had some boys around the neighborhood that got into mischief. My father used to butcher a sheep once in a while. They call it mutton.
Uh-huh.
Because we couldn't afford to go to the store and buy. Go to the store and buy stuff? All we ever bought was salt and maybe sugar and flour. My dad ground his own flour down here to Ida at the mill. My mother baked her own bread. We never had home bread that you buy out of the store. And crackers. Why, once in a while you get some crackers down here to Ida, the Shire's store, you know. And he had a great big old cat laying on the counter and a big old cheese and an open barrel of crackers.
Where was that located?
Right there where Food Town is, or not Food Town, IGA.
Yeah.
The top part of that store is the old Shire store. I used to go in there. I remember Mr. Shire. Well, his son is a caretaker down at the high school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's caretaker down there. And he looks just like his dad when he walks down the aisle. I see his dad over and over. But you know what else I can see?
What?
I never wanted to buy no crackers in there. Because they had a big barrel, great big barrel of crackers. That's right.
Yeah.
Open barrel and a big cat laying on the counter and a big cheese, a big round cheese. And he'd whack off a hunk of cheese and take you some crackers out of there and put them in a sack. I never wanted the crackers. I was afraid they had cat hair on them.
Did they have pickle barrels?
No, I don't know. I don't think he had pickle barrels. But they did have in other stores open barrels. Why, right up there in Toledo and Tinkies, they had open sauerkraut barrels, open pickle barrels. Rat got the sauerkraut one time. That's true. Down there in Tinkies store, you know.
Uh-huh.
I think it still goes by the name of Tinkies. Well, now, let's see. What else you want to know? You want to know how I went to school?
Yeah.
Well, I went to school on Shank's horses by 2 feet.
Yeah.
See? Walked. I think it's about a mile and a half over there to Fetterman, what they call Fetterman on
yeah.
the West Road.
Right.
One-room school, 52 pupils in a school. You didn't get no help from the teacher either.
Who was the teacher?
Huh?
Who was the teacher?
Well, I had all kinds of teachers. When I was a little bitty girl, before I went to school, my brother's a lot older than I, 10 years older than I, my oldest brother.
Uh-huh.
And them boys, they was rascals. They'd go to school till they're 18 years old, you know.
Yeah.
And they had a lady teacher. And they was so bad in that school. Them guys used to chew the bathroom and spit up the aisle.
They did?
Yes, they did. And the teacher, she got herself a one of these little bitty ball bats the kids play with.
Uh-huh.
And she had the kids lay across something there, and she whacked him with that ball bat. She couldn't handle him. So finally the school board says, we're going to get a man teacher in there. They'll handle them kids. So they got a man teacher, and his name was Scott Jackson. He's from Dundee. I don't know if anybody alive knows him yet or not, but this is truth. He was a rascal. He used to whip the kids with a big old belly, you know, his belt, you know, he'd pull it out and whell them over the back. I seen him, he was in an accident one time. He used to drive two nice, pretty horses, and them horses run away and broke his leg, and I guess all the kids wished he'd broke his neck.
Yeah.
And they would like him. He was a butter. And the other one kid used to live here right across from the stone quarry on Jackman Road. His name is Bourbon. I don't know if he's living there or not. If he is, he'll remember it if he ever heard it. And he didn't want to sit straight up in his seat. So Scott says, I'll fix you. He took his cane and stuck it down in his through his shirt. It hit his back, made him sit up straight. And he wouldn't sit up then. He'd sit there and almost choke himself, trying to lean over, you know.
Uh-huh.
And Scott got so mad at him, he had all them kids standing on their feet. He came down there and got that kid, and he threw him right up in the air over the top of that desk. And he came down on there with his back. And them kids was ready. If then now, I guess, you know what they do now.
Yeah.
They'd bob him. But that was Scott Jackson. That was the end of him.
What was the curriculum?
Huh?
What did you have to study?
Study? Oh, I don't know how to tell you because they don't name them the same now.
All right, go ahead.
The study of the body was called physiology.
Yeah.
And civil government, geography, history, and languages. I don't know what you call it now. We call it language.
Right.
That's the way it was. Now, let's see, what else? Did I name the geography?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have any math?
Oh, yeah, math. I didn't like it. Because they made me stand on the rostrum one day to get work a problem while everybody else was eating their dinner. I never liked math until I got to be a young woman, worked in an office, and had an ad machine. I told them I was a good, I worked in the auditing department, big stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
I had an ad machine. What you got now, computer? You don't need to use your head at all nowadays, do you, huh?
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
Everything's computer. I wish I was born in a computer age. I never liked math.
Mm-hmm.
But I can add 2 and 2 and 4 and 4 and so on, you know.
Yeah.
I can get by pretty good.
Did you have to go when it was snowing out, deep snow?
No. Put up above your knees. We used to wear what you call leggings. Now what them things them girls wear, forgot to name them. They look like wrinkled stockings they wear.
Yeah.
And we wore leggings that buttoned on the side, and the snow would get in through them cracks, you know. And my brothers, we'd always go cross the fields, you know.
Uh-huh.
It was nearer. Snow drifts clear above your knees, and here Lila'd come along crying, wait for me, you know. And the boys would keep on going, oh boy, them were the days, you know. Carry your lunch bucket, an old cold lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, put it in the entryway, drink cold water. We had an old pump you pump with a hand pump, you know. And the bathroom was out the back end of the lot. And the entry, you know, where you kept your lunch pails and everything.
Right.
That's where the boys waited for the girls to come in from them places out back. And they'd grab them one and kiss them. I never let them kiss me.
You didn't?
They didn't have clean teeth. I didn't like them.
Always chewing that tobacco, huh?
I don't know. I guess they didn't emphasize much about cleaning your teeth them days.
Uh-huh.
What else you remember?
Can you tell me what you did during World War One?
World War One, worked in Toledo in an office, lamps and store, auditing department, auditing sales checks. But like I told you before, I had an ad machine. I worked there until I was married, and they didn't allow married women to work there, and my husband went in World War One, 1917.
Yeah.
And he was in there until the Army of Occupation It's true. I kept watching for him to come home, but his officers was having too good a time. That's the truth.
Yeah?
Yeah, they never got home until after some of the Army of Occupation got home. And he was in the Signal Corps over there. You know, went up in these observation booms.
Yeah?
Just like a bird on the wire, and he'd take a pot shot at you, you know. But, you know, let's see. You know, when he went away in 17, where did I go, you asked me?
Right.
Well, I went home on the farm, and he'd seen to it I went home on the farm, because I was only 17. And the government seen to it that I didn't follow him to no camp, like they do now, you know.
Yeah.
No way. You stayed home where you belong.
Right.
You go to no camps. Mm-hmm. I didn't see him again till the war was over and he came home. See?
Come back a hero?
Not.
Everyone come back a hero?
I don't know whether he's a hero or not. This might not be very patriotic, but when they come home and the officers got up on the bridge to tell them, you know, what wonderful men they were, after keeping them over there for a whole year, after the Army of Occupation was almost all of them home, you know what, instead of saying, oh, yes, fine officers, they hollered out, they said, hang him, throw him overboard. Was very patriotic, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
Well, those officers wasn't very patriotic. They stayed over there and used the taxpayers' money up, having a good time over in France. That's truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's facts from Baker's Almanac.
Right. Can you tell me what the Depression was like?
The Depression, yep. You don't know nothing about Depression. It tickles me when they talk Depression now. Depression, you know what Depression is. We couldn't have one. You had to take coupons for gas. You had to take coupons. There was a lot of coupons for bacon, if you got any bacon at all, for butter. You had to take so much oatmeal, so much cornmeal, or you didn't get anything else. Big deal. You know, Depression, you don't, they don't know what Depression is. It was really bad. I mean, B-A-D, bad. And now you got enough to eat. See?
Yeah.
A lot of jobs, not so many jobs. There wasn't any jobs. Nothing to eat. See?
Were you living on the farm then?
Yeah, I was on the farm. Yeah.
Did you guys have a garden and...
Yeah, we had a garden and canned our own stuff. You know, and my father killed his own meat. When I was a kid, we never had bought meat. The only time we ever had bought any meat was maybe when threshers, hardly ever though, we'd kill chickens when the threshers would come, you know. Thrashing machines used to go around to the house, you know, and thresh out your grain. And that was like a circus coming to town. They had a thresh machine coming out. You know them old big steam engines?
Yeah.
They used to come up through that hill there by our house, and you'd have to put planks in the road. You see, the roads were so bad, you know, deep sand, deep ruts of mud. Well, I can remember going from Ida, from our place to Ida, and you couldn't get down that road.
That's Meanwell around here,
yeah,
right?
Well, right down there from Meanwell to Ida.
Yeah.
And it's the clay. You see, it's clay from Jackman to Ida. All solid clay. Was you ever on clay mud? Ooh. It's during the centennial when they had it down here to Ida, they showed one of the doctor's cars. And it was his buggy where he went out to visit people, you know, they used to come to the house.
Mm-hmm.
Now you go to the hospital. Doctor don't come to house, the hospital, or home. You have to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
And then they go from room to room and charge you a little more. Well, this doctor down there to Ida, Dr. Kelly, he had mud. You could hardly see the spokes on those wheels. They were solid mud. I remember my brother and I, in 1917, he was kind of a daredevil driver. He used to go to Ida school there, at the old school.
Yeah.
And he was an athlete. Climbed the top of that flagpole one time. Climbed the top. Yeah, up the flagpole. His name was Jeff. They called him Jeff Davis. And he had my dad's Ford, one of these one of them Ford Model T's, you know.
Yeah.
Model T. It was a side curtain design, you know. And he took me for a ride. We went down to Ida, and you couldn't drive on the road. We drove on the side of the road between the ditch and the telephone poles. That's right.
Is that how they first got around, was horse and buggies then?
Oh, horse and buggies. You see, from my time, I was when you shut it off.
Yeah, hold on. You're talking about horse and buggies?
Yeah, my time, the horse and buggies. When your boyfriend come to see you, put the lines around the whip socket, and that was time to jump.
It was.
Jump and run, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't have as many accidents, so you guys do when you're in your automobile, when you're looking at the road. Anyhow, I went from horse and buggies to jet planes, would you call it?
Yeah.
Jet. My father went from ox cars to jets. Yeah, in his time. Of course, he was 103 and a half when he passed away.
Yeah.
I'm just a young whippersnapper for him, you know.
Right.
82.
Can you tell me about the first automobile you saw?
First automobile?
Yeah.
A light special mail carrier down to Ida had what you call a brush automobile, and it was fire engine red. Had a big chain driving the back, big sprocket wheel, a big chain, no cover over it, you know, just open the seat.
Yeah.
And a big old thing that honk, 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 you know, to honk on.
Mm-hmm.
And right there in Ida, if you aren't acquainted, there used to be a big hotel there and a drugstore. I guess there's something there now, a store. I guess it's Al Klein's, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Carl's Bar on the other side, and there's a house that's way back in. There's a whole lot of these great big tiles sitting there that they put, you know, in the sewers. And Bechtel, he hadn't got used to driving his car yet, and he got it up in there, and he headed straight for those big tiles. And he didn't think, you know, to pull the brake. He sits there and held on the steering, hollered, whoa, that.
Yeah.
He died driving horses, you know.
Uh-huh.
That's the first automobile I ever saw. And the name of it was Brush.
Pretty comical?
Yeah. That's the story went around, I know, you know, for years. The mailman hollered, Wolback. Well, a lot of memories.
Yeah.
Lots of memories.
Can you tell me what you did during World War II?
World War II? Well, let's see, World War II, my nephews was in that. I guess I was out here on the farm, I think. I got to think a minute about that.
All right, go ahead.
I was out here on the farm. What year was that?
1944?
Yeah, I was out here working in Monroe and stayed with my father on the farm. Took care of him, you know. And my nephews went in that. I had a couple of one nephew was in that in D-Day in France. He belonged in that regiment where they mowed him down not with ammunition but with flame.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, bad. Yeah. The World War I, my husband and three brothers did it. None of them ever hurt. They all came back.
That's good.
Yeah, my nephew came back. A lot of them didn't come back. Too many wars. Don't like them. But you have to keep some ammunition. Keep your powder dry. Keep some ammunition, you know, right handy.
Uh-huh.
So them fellas over there, you don't know what they're up to.
That's right.
Yeah, you can't trust them.
Did you have a celebration when your brothers come back?
Yeah, we had a celebration in World War I when my brothers came back. We called up from down here to Fetterman where the crossing is. Where the two railroads crossed.
Yeah.
And it was wash day. And my mother and I was washing. He called up and he says, hey, Mom, what's for dinner? And, whew, we was having bean soup. And World War I, you didn't get beef steak. You got bean soup.
Yeah.
And he felt so bad to think that's all his mother had was bean soup.
Uh-huh.
But she made him some homemade bread. Homemade butter and you know, get the pie. And he was all right. He got home all right. Enjoyed it.
Can you tell me about wash day?
Wash day?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a little different than nowadays. I go over to Dundee, the wash house, you know.
Yeah.
And I go to Dundee, the wash house, and they grumble around about having to put so much money in the machines. And I hear some of the older people say too, you know, they'll say, "Oh, the good old days, the good old days."
And I go, "Go ahead."
I don't see anything good about the good old days. We used to have to haul our water up in buckets from a hill about a quarter of a mile long. I guess it's that long. It seemed like 2 miles time. You got bottom top.
Yeah.
Back up the top. And put your water in the wash boiler, big old container on the stove, on a wood stove, and boil the water and put it in the machine. We didn't have no washing machine. We had a round tub and a washboard. I don't know how many of you have ever seen a washboard, but you just scrub the clothes up and down on that washboard and leave half of your knuckles there. And you had blisters time you got done, too.
Did you have a set day that you had to do wash?
Well,
like Monday
it,
or?
We no, not necessarily, because you done it when you could, that's all. We done it once a week, that's all we do, you know. Had other things, might have had to come in, but then you hang them on the line and the under where it'd freeze, and your fingers would freeze, and you couldn't get them off. You'd have to bring them in and hang them over the chair and hang them over everything. They're so stiff and sore. That's old day, old good old day.
Yeah. Did you guys have a wood-burning stove then?
Yeah.
Or
wood burner.
Right in the kitchen?
Yeah, big old range. And we used to, you didn't ask me how we took a bath.
Oh, well, go ahead.
You asked me about the bathroom, yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to tell you, seeing you asked me about the stove, we had what you call a reservoir on the end of that stove where you could heat the dishwater, you know, and then a great big tea kettle where you'd heat the water to scald them. No sinks, what's that? Sink? You wash the dishes on the kitchen table, you know. And dish rags, like you buy in the store, never saw one. So I grew up, you know. We had dish rags, R-A-G-S.
Right.
Yeah, rags. And we had old pieces of nice clean cloth we wiped the dishes with. And my mother was clean, you know. And she was a good cook. And when we come bath night, well, nowadays they take a shower every night and wash all the oil off their skin and they get all wrinkled up.
Yeah.
But nowadays they do that.
Right.
When I was a kid, you heated the water in that reservoir and in the big tea kettle, and we had a big old galvanized wash tub. Some people before my time had wooden tubs, but we had a galvanized tub, a big one, and we sat that in front of the oven door, you know, where it was warm, and each one took their bath. I can't remember whether we all used the same water or not, but we didn't dare fill it too full because we didn't have that much water.
Uh-huh.
I remember the kind of soap we used, but it wasn't perfumed, I can tell you that. Probably was tar soap.
Yeah.
Grandfather's tar soap. Yeah, that's good soap.
Yeah.
Kills the germs. No perfume. And maybe we didn't have no electricity. My dad didn't have electricity down here on Meanwell Road till 1920. Had lanterns. One night I went home, and here he was reading the paper by the lantern. And I said, "Dad, why don't you turn the light on?" He forgot he had electricity.
Yeah.
He'd read the newspaper by the lantern. That's a fact.
Just out of habit.
Yeah. Never had it, you know. Oh, a lot I could tell you. A lot more I could tell you.
Go ahead.
I don't know where to start and where to leave off.
Did any of you have any relatives that died of, like, tuberculosis or diphtheria or?
Well, my mother died of tuberculosis when she was only 53 years old, of the kidneys.
Yeah.
And when my when I was little, the only diseases that our immediate family had was measles. We had those. But I don't remember very, no vaccinations. You know, never had a vaccination, but I did have the measles, and that was all. But before my time, my dad's time, there was a lot of diphtheria, a lot of deaths from that. I've heard him tell about it.
Uh-huh.
But in my time, the worst thing I remember was measles, you know.
Yeah.
Colds, things like that. But we didn't get too many colds. We bundled up and went outdoors and played in the snow and slid downhill and skated and things like that.
I was going to ask you, what did you do during the wintertime for recreation?
Skate and slide down the hills.
Do you have any toboggans or?
Any what?
Toboggans?
We had a front fireman old bobsled. Us kids rigged up, and my brother and I was sliding downhill one night. There was a well down there at the barn where they watered the cattle, and he tried to steer away from that post by the well. He steered right into it and broke one of his teeth out. Oh, we had fun. We didn't have to have a lot of TV, and we had exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We got out and did things. That's good for your brain. Nowadays, they sit in front of that tube, you know, and their brain gets all addled up. They don't know what's going on. Then they go out and try to do some of them things and get in trouble.
Uh-huh.
That's the truth. If they outlaw them things or throw them all in the, don't throw them in the river, might kill the fish. But just turn them off. I make a lot of turn them off for a year and get people out and play ball and skate. Enjoy life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever be on a basketball team for school or anything like that?
No, I was a baseball player.
You played baseball?
Yep. I had four brothers and no sisters, and they made a baseball player out of me. And when we choose outside at school, I'd always get chosen. They'd always put their hand one on top of the ball bat, you know?
Yeah.
And choose upside. And I'd get on the side where they could bat them and run them. I could bat them and make a home run. Yeah, I'd like to play. I'd see a ball game yet. I don't care 2 cents about that. Oh, that football. All that means to me, they stick their heads together in a huddle and then knock one another down.
Uh-huh.
That's all it means to me. Basketball, I kind of like to see them play basketball, but we never had that. We played volleyball at school. We had a net up, you know, and knocked the volleyball across. But mostly baseball. That was the recreation. All around the country, the neighbors had baseball games. Mm-hmm. And that's what you done Sunday afternoon. Sunday morning, you went to church. Sunday afternoon, you played baseball. That's right. That's what they used to do over here at Fetterman. Yep.
Can you tell me about what you did, or any stories about Prohibition?
Prohibition? Well, you tell a fellow that he can't do it, and he's going to do it. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, tell him he can't have it, and he'll do it. So they went, they just had a lot of old booze that they made. They call it White Mule. They brewed up some stuff and kill them. And from Toledo to Detroit, they used to have what they call rum runners. Rum runners, is that right?
Yeah.
And they had a lot of trouble, but as far as I'm concerned, I'd rather see the old saloon back. You young folks, I don't know if you ever knew what a saloon was. It was a place where women didn't go.
Uh-huh.
Men went. The only time the women went there was when the men drank too much and they'd go in there and drag them out. That's the truth.
Uh-huh.
They had two saloons down here to Ida, and as a young girl, you wouldn't catch a young girl that had any respect for herself looking towards them saloons or stopping and looking in through the doors. They had swinging doors, you know?
Yeah.
They used to have in the Wild West. You wouldn't stop in front of there. No. I'd rather see the old saloon come back than to have all these things they call beer gardens.
Yeah.
I like gardens. I think they're pretty.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. To me, a garden is something beautiful.
Can you tell me about anyone having a still around here?
Yep. Down here on the corner of Ida West and Meanwell Road, this guy came out from Toledo, and he had a still upstairs in this house. And first thing you know, the old house burned down. Still blowed up and burnt the house down. And he moved down to Monroe, and he started another one down there in a house. And guess what?
What?
Burnt the house down, him with it.
He died?
Yeah, Bernie looked right in it. Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah, I was around here when it happened. The last place was down there in Monroe. Burned the house down, him in it. That was the end of that.
Anyone else get hurt?
Nope, he was alone. He was alone in the house. But right here under our nose, we never knew it. We didn't know that it still was in there. Quarter of a mile from where my dad lived.
Uh-huh.
We didn't even know it until the still burned up, blowed up, you know.
Uh-huh.
Burned the house down. And he moved to Monroe, and that's what happened, you know. All that there junk, I don't know. I lived in Chicago, and at the time when they had Prohibition, and there was a man there, our landlord. He used to make that, drink that white mule, crazier than a bedbug.
Yeah.
Him crazy. Crazier than dope and whiskey, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They called it white mule.
Did you ever have any?
Me? Oh, I never touched that slop. Never touch it. No. You wouldn't go pick up a rattlesnake, would you?
No.
Have it bite you?
No.
No. The book that I read says to leave it alone.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Can you tell me where you went to church?
Yeah, I went to church at Christian Missionary Alliance in Toledo. And places wherever I moved, you know.